I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drumroll please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of the FPL teams of some of the country's funniest people.
There's no FPL this week, but John, it's been the international break. What have you been doing instead?
Well, just trying to get in shape really for the return of football next week. You know, doing a bit of fitness work, a lot of tactics work on the board, really looking at that squad. I've got in a right mess with it. I had a look at it this morning. I'm not going to lie to you. I hadn't looked at it. I just, you know, you've got to enjoy the break, haven't you?
Yes.
You've got to just, you know, take that time out. Clicked on the old team this morning because I knew we were chatting and I was looking forward to that, obviously. Hey, Matthew.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy summer last week?
Oh, I sense you don't mean what it sounds like you mean.
Did you enjoy summer, did you?
Did I enjoy summer?
It was early this year, wasn't it?
Oh, I see. You do genuinely mean the nice weather.
Yeah, did you enjoy it? It's all gone now, isn't it? They're talking about snow now, aren't they?
What?
They're talking about snow, are they?
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You kidding?
Oh, yeah. That was it. You've had summer, mate. Did you enjoy it?
Just because of the way you are and your personality and the way you choose to speak, some people might think there's some wordplay afoot, that there's a guy called Danny Summer who, I don't know, has been in the news. To be plainly clear.
If you enjoyed summer, mate.
You've had some nice days in the sunshine, I'm guessing, and now you're sad that the weather's changed because it's still March.
We've all had some nice days in the sun, haven't we?
You sound drunk, mate. Is everything okay at home?
Just asking if you enjoyed summer, mate. It's just a simple question.
Well, I enjoyed the days of warm weather. Yes, obviously there's more to come, and I think we all need to hold on to that. It is only March, so there's way more to come. Imagine what April, let alone May, June, July, August, even September will bring.
The sunshine front. And then there'll be another winter, won't there?
Yes, but there'll also be another summer. And I think that's the difference between us. Is
what about
we always
after
see
that?
Winter coming, I always see summer coming. And I like winter.
Oh, we had summer, mate. Oh, that's gone, mate. You've had summer. I had that last week.
Have you had a shower yet?
No, I'm not even dressed. Don't want to make the listeners hot and sexy. But no, I'm currently in my dressing gown. A t-shirt,
okay.
And some boxer shorts that are blue.
Okay, so you're kind of you're dressed for the house. I thought you meant you were utter starkers.
Oh no, it's too cold for that. What with summer having gone,
are you sad,
maybe,
mate?
Maybe then, last week I was.
Are you sad about the departure of those few sunny days in March?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it, when the sun shines?
Oh, it's lovely. Makes you feel so much better about things.
Didn't like having that hour of sleep taken off me.
Do you notice it?
It feels like it's a proper radio interview and you're desperately trying to get me on track and there's a producer somewhere going, just get him to plug his thing and get rid of him. There's something wrong with him. You do notice it, don't you, the sunshine? Does make everything's a little bit easier, isn't it? Walking to the shops is a little bit easier. You've no doubt been on lots of choo-choo trains going around the country telling your joke.
Nice.
It's all a little bit easier, isn't it? You tend to eat better. That helps. It's all cyclical, isn't it? And then the cold weather comes in and you think, oh, sod it. I'll have crisps for breakfast again.
Yeah, and it makes everything... Well, what flavour?
What have we got in at the moment? I tend to buy those. There's ones you can get. It's like a Pringles tube. I can't remember what they're called. Scha or Schlur or Spurgen. But they're in like a Pringles tube, but it's 98% recyclable packaging.
Oh, God, I knew there was going to be some goody two-shoes element to it.
Just a
great
guy. The
crisps themselves are actually recyclable because after you poo them out, you send them off to the factory and they're frozen and re-sliced and fed to animals. Not a bad idea.
In a way, that is true. It's all cyclical, isn't it? The water that you drink from the tap has been through, what do they say, at least 7 people?
I mean, in London, that's got to be way higher, hasn't it?
I would have thought so. I would have thought it'd been through 7 people that morning by the time it dribbles out of your tap.
I think they just stick a tap directly onto your neighbour's bumhole and you just get it straight from source these days.
Yeah, if you stick a camera up your tap, you just see a giant rat with its willy dangling down the tap and it just wheeze out of the tap straight into your mouth.
Well, I've had a few messages about it. I got in a taxi yesterday. And he went, "All right, mate, don't worry, there aren't any rats in here."
Oh, yes, good. Yeah, good. The sitcom. Excellent. Good. Yeah, I had a few messages saying people were going to turn up to gigs of yours with a rat. Has that happened yet?
No, but something did happen in Edinburgh last night. So
I'm
doing some Scottish dates at the moment.
Get all that SNP stuff out.
Well, it's funny you mention that because obviously when I'm in Scotland, I do take the opportunity to add in some extra material about the SNP. Because
have you ever noticed that sturgeon and salmon are both fish?
I'll consider that. Quite a few other people say it.
Who's the next MB going to be? Colin Codd. You know, something to think about. Write it down.
Well, I don't have a pen tan. I'll remember it. Don't worry. I won't forget gold like that, pal. Anyway, so I take the opportunity when I'm in Scotland to do some SNP material because obviously doing it elsewhere sort of doesn't really make sense. But I obviously am sensible about where I place it in the show. So I do it after the break. So I've had a good hour or so.
When they've all had a beer.
Well, that. But also I've been whacking the Tories and whacking the Labour Party. And then there's
a
sense of
swipe.
Fairness, but...
Wallop. You having that? The political establishment, as is.
Then I come onto the SNP. So I get onto it.
Second half, don't you?
So I get onto it and... I mean, it's not like it's nasty or rude or, you know, not based in fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with this.
That's your opinion, Paul.
Ferry story that's going on at the moment in Scotland.
Brian?
Well, I mean, that ferry at least was on time and on budget. Brian Ferry is probably one of the few ferries with anything to do with Scotland that is still going and functioning. Basically, there's a whole controversy about an SNP supporter being given a ferry contract. Clauses that would protect the taxpayer were removed, and now it's run over budget. The ferry still haven't been delivered. Sturgeon went to the launch of one 5 years ago that wasn't even a real ferry. It had painted on window. I mean, the whole thing is like so comedic, it's mad, right? Anyway, so I'm doing this.
Don't pay the ferryman.
You are?
Don't pay the ferryman. That's all come together very nicely, isn't it?
Yeah. So I'm doing all this, and there's a guy right down the front who's been laughing throughout the whole thing, and he...
Something wrong with him. That'd be your first warning. Yeah?
He starts getting kind of agitated and annoyed.
Uh-huh.
And I think, well, maybe he's just chatting to his girlfriend about something. And then he stands up.
Will Smith.
And he's right on the front row, right? He stands up and he's a serious-looking fella. And he starts putting his COVID mask on. I was like, "Oh, do you work in the shipping industry?" And he goes, "I'm Scottish and you're an asshole."
What? 2-0. Facts there. Two.
It was just like, what? I was like, but you stayed for all the Boris stuff and all the stuff I was doing about Keir Starmer and everyone else.
Take Nicola Sturgeon's name out of your... mouth.
I wish I'd have thought of the Will Smith thing.
Gone then, was he?
Just straight out of there. I mean, it was absolutely sensitive. I mean, I had people wait for me afterwards who were like, "Oh, I'm ever so sorry. Like, he embarrassed us all. You know, we can take a joke." I was like, "Oh, no." I was like,
amazing.
I'm Scottish. You're an... I mean, I'm not denying either of those two things. I mean, I think he was probably correct on both counts.
Absolutely.
Scottish, not an arsehole. So that wasn't in dispute. I mean, I was slightly worried that he would. But when there were people waiting for me outside, I was like, "You're not going to beat me up, are you?" Such a pussy. "You're waiting to beat me up." But what a moment. And you just think, in a way, he did me a favour because it just...
Yeah.
It turned the levels up after that. It made me look really dangerous, you know.
Well, this is what happens when you're at the political cut and thrust of the British comedy. You know, you're out there every night, just jabbing, jab, jab, uppercut, bang, Sturgeon, whoa, Corbyn, bang, Ed Miliband, oh, we're drifting away a bit, oh, George Galloway, wallop, hang on, where are we going here? Harold Wilson, he's getting his autographs out. Well done, though. Sounds very exciting. I don't get any of that at my gigs.
It was a real thrill. I'm Scottish and you're an arsehole.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have that tattooed on me somewhere.
Well, but then you're not Scottish, are you? So you'd have to put, I am an arsehole. You could have, I am an arsehole and this is my arsehole above your arsehole.
Oh, yeah. Or I could just have, I'm Scottish above my arsehole.
I think that would be seen as another jibe at the Scottish people, wouldn't it?
Another slur at the good people of Scotland.
Oh, that's exciting. Where are you tonight?
Edinburgh again, so I'm slightly worried that
he's going to come back.
But, it does crush your mind. You know, obviously when you're involved in the CPFPL community, we make ourselves a target, John. You know, politics aside, you know, we're lampooning people across football, and that does make us, you know, in some people's minds, blasphemers.
Yes, well, there is a thing that happens when you occasionally, in our biz, are confronted with people whom you have in the past satirized, shall we say. You must have had this politically where you got to interview someone who you know you've done jokes about in the past and you think, I wonder if they know that. I was confronted with somebody this week who I couldn't remember the specifics, but I've certainly made jokes about in the past.
Toby Bevans?
No, sadly not. And I don't think I've ever satirized Bevans. No, a tad more high profile.
Okay,
than Toby
okay.
Evans.
Let me try
somebody
and guess.
A hotel bar, and this person was there, and I thought, if they happen to have seen, and they're so high profile, I'm not going to lie to you, I was fairly certain they hadn't seen any of my material or
Piers Morgan
had any clue who I was. Come away from politics, come back into the FPL arena.
James Maddison.
No, FPL as in former Premier League rather than Fantasy Premier League.
Jermaine Defoe.
I'm going to say higher profile than Jermaine
Ashley
Defoe.
Cole.
Certainly has scored more goals for England.
Frank Lampard.
Scored more goals. Although they do have a certain connection to a club that you don't like.
Wayne Rooney. So what did he look like, first and foremost? Please paint us a detailed picture of the man Rooney.
Well, he looked how you'd expect him to look. I mean, he's younger than me, but I'm not a sexy man. But I think if you saw me and Wayne Rooney together, you wouldn't look at us and say, one's a young, recently retired footballer, and the other is a down-and-out comic. He was having some drinks with some colleagues, and I had that instant feeling of, I've definitely made jokes about you in the past. And then my wife was with me.
Steady on, Wayne.
she not an avid follower of football. Regular listeners to this podcast will know better than us at FPL, depressingly. Two from two when she joined the league. She obviously hasn't followed the latter years of Wayne Rooney. So she'd remember him in an England shirt. Nice to hear your home fans booing you. That sort of era. She couldn't believe it was Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. She's like, that's not Wayne Rooney. I said, it is Wayne Rooney. But
She couldn't believe it as in he was physically unrecognisable.
He's physically unrecognisable as Wayne Rooney. But there was no confrontational. There was no, I'm an Evertonian and you're an arsehole. There was none of that, thankfully. But he's been in the news this week because, and I wonder if this is what he was in town for, he did an after-dinner speech this week, and there was a Q&A afterwards, and all the gossip he spilled about his players has made it into the press.
Ooh.
Some of it is hilarious.
Before you deliver that, I just have a few more questions. So,
do you? Okay.
How tall is he?
I never saw him stood up. He was sat down in what I'd describe as a comfortable reclining chair. Not a chair, I have to say, that benefits a gentleman trying to look, you know. It's one of those chairs you've got to make a call. If you wouldn't have a business meeting in a chair like that, put it that way. It forces you to recline.
I hate those chairs. Why do they make chairs like that? They're so uncomfortable to sit in. Do you remember that time I was in the passenger seat of your car and because of the positioning of it, I immediately needed a shit. Do you remember? Because of the way Lucy had it. I sat in it, I was like, wah! And it was like immediately being put in a stress position by the SAS. You know, when they touch you on the back and it makes you cack your pants. And immediately needed it, purely because of the posture of that passenger seat.
Oh, I hope that man who walked out of your show tonight is currently Googling SAS stress position. And on your way into the gig tonight, he just knows where to touch you on the back of your neck so you cack yourself on your way into your gig. So have you seen Wayne Rooney's comments?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Right, so I'm gonna tell you a player and I want you to tell me whether he's a fan of theirs or not. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Tricky. I think it's a bit of both. I think on some level, what Ronaldo did to him will still hurt. But I imagine he respects him in footballing terms, because how could he?
Okay, right. So you're saying professionally respectful, but yes, personally not a fan.
100%.
I'm John Richardson and you're not an arsehole. That's bang on. Cristiano was so good and so annoying at the same time. He's probably not as good now, but he probably is just as annoying.
I mean, he's bang on. He's bang on.
He is bang on.
Wow.
Rio nailed it. Ferdinand.
I think he likes Rio.
No. Listen, Rio's a top player, but he's arrogant. You know, you get paid a lot of money at Man United to kick the ball into the net. So let's do that. I said to him, do your job. Give me the ball. Give Ronaldo the ball. Stop standing there messing about. Stop standing there. Stop standing there.
Did he really say that?
These are comments he made at an after dinner Q&A this week, Saturday night.
You know what's odd about them? They're simultaneously candid, but also mundane.
Well, wait until you hear his Roy Keane story. So, Roy Keane, you're expecting, you know, I once walked out to find Roy Keane, you know, slaughtering a goat in the hallway. Mm. Or, you know, I once found him in the woods just pulling down trees with his teeth. This is his big reveal on Roy Keane. We were playing Newcastle away, and afterwards Roy was watching the rugby league. So when he went out of the room, I put X Factor on and hid the remote. He came in and said, who turned it over? I said, I don't know. He went up to the plug, pulled it out, and said if he couldn't watch the rugby league, nobody could watch anything. And then at midnight, I was asleep in my room and there was a bang on the door. It was security, and they said, Roy wants you to tell him, where's the remote?
What? He had security. He called security on him.
I think you are best placed to tell us what you think was going on in the mind of Roy Keane at that moment. It's midnight. He's still ferreting around looking for the remote, and it remains the only thing to be done is to get security involved.
He knew at that point, Keane. He knew. He knew immediately that Rooney was mucking him about.
Give us the inner monologue.
I know it was Rooney. I know he had it. And I let him go. And that's my fault. That's on me. I got to live with myself for letting him change the channel to the X Factor. And I let him walk all over me. Sick of letting people walk all over me. Got to plan my next move carefully because I can't leave any trace. I can't leave any trace. Last time was too close. Last time they were on me, man. Breathe, Roy. Breathe, Roy. Come on, man. It's just a fucking remote control. Beep, 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 beep. Hello, is that security?
What sort of a phone has Roy Keane got? The portrait of a man slowly sort of losing sense and giving way to his temper, and then it realises he's got a novelty Star Trek mobile phone.
It's a hotel phone.
Fucking beat me up.
Fucking hotel phone, if anyone's wondering. Beep, 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 beep. Hello, Mr. Keane. Fuck. That's not. What time's breakfast at?
Oh, well, that was fun. Do you know what was nice about that? I think it was fun for you as well.
The fact that he was trying to be anonymous is really famous.
You're like, you know, when Stephen King writes, he sort of goes into these states where you're just in the mind of the character writing. And he always says, I know who the characters are and I know what situation I want to put them in, but I don't know where it's going to go. Mm. And he says sometimes the end of a book is a surprise to him. And that sort of felt like that, to be honest, that you became Roy. You didn't know where that was going to end up. And you sort of, as you came out of it, you know, the hilarity of what had happened, Roy Keane furious that it's one of those hotels where his room number pops up when he calls reception on the... The Roy Keane impression was very good. I think you need to work... No, I think you could do with, while you're on tour this week, downloading the full back catalogue of Police Academy movies, because I think what's letting your impressions down, some of the sort of technical gadgetry, you know, doors opening, all the little stuff that Jones is able to do that just makes those impressions fly, you know, because you're in it, you're Roy Keane, and then it's like, oh, and then he gets a page. You know, I think if you just work on the phones, as I say, the doors, the maybe the sound of a car, those little things, it'll just elevate the show to another level.
Yeah, I think you're right. The hotel phone was real. I didn't even just do the...
What I enjoyed also, you perhaps weren't listening to the details of the story, but that anecdote was set in Newcastle. It was Newcastle away where that hotel incident happened. And I'll tell you what, a security guy right out of central casting there, aren't they? They've gone with type there. Hello, Mr. Keane. Oh,
no. Is there anything I can get for you? Breakfast between 7 and 9. It's busy from 8:30. It's on the second floor. Go up to the mezzanine and it's on the left, okay? You're like, whoa, well, loads of information, mate. I can't remember all that.
They've got their own private room for breakfast, haven't they?
What, United or the staff?
Manchester United away. Yeah, they ain't turning up down to the buffet, are they?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the hotel. I imagine they stay in pretty posh places anyway. Therefore, they wouldn't require a private area, would they? They'd already be in an exclusive place.
I used to work with a lovely lady called Philomena. We used to do the buffet breakfast at the Forte Post House, Lancaster. And every time I think of buffet breakfasts, I picture Philomena used to come in and I was a grumpy little thing in the morning. And she was such a pleasant demeanour, and I'd be in the kitchen and she'd going, please, I need more eggs for the buffet. And it was such a jaunty little way of asking. It really helped me get through the morning. Sometimes it did. Good old Philomena. Oh, she took a bad fall one morning. She spilt some milk and she slipped on it trying to tidy it up.
Philomena Clunk.
Oh, lovely. Shall we return briefly to FPL for the last couple of minutes?
Yes, just before we do.
Oh, he's got another question.
For those of us that haven't worked at a hotel buffet breakfast but have consumed them,
yeah,
tell us just a bit about behind the scenes. I mean,
what's
is it
going
all
on behind the scenes?
It's all well, fine, isn't it? The food's good.
Oh yeah. Well, it's different. It's different. You know, depending on the establishment. Obviously, the setup we had at Forte was very different to what it was at the Rodney Hotel in Clifton, where I worked. Obviously, Rodney Hotel, just not as big an establishment. You know, you typically on a full weekend you might be doing 30 to 60 covers at breakfast. So that involved a certain amount of prep. But at something like a Forte, where you're constantly updating that buffet, it's all about prep. You know, you've got to have those sausages just ready to go, really, on a cycle, on a low oven, ready to go. With the Rodney, you would pre-cook some sausages. Of course you would, and you'd have the kippers and all that ready to go. That was the worst bit.
Kippers?
Always have kippers on, because it was a clientele of a certain generation, and some of them wanted kippers. And what is frustrating, people who want kippers don't tend to get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, stagger down and have a coffee and some kippers. People who want kippers get up at 5:30, and the minute breakfast opens at 6, they want kippers. Which means if you are a chef, I don't know, I'm just plucking a sort of idea from thin air, but say you're someone who's recently dropped out of university, is drinking heavily to cover the trauma of thinking he's ruined his life, has perhaps been up drinking until 2 in the morning and then finds himself at 5 o'clock having to prepare breakfast and grill sausages and fry bacon and things like that, which he's not really up for. At 6 a.m., the last thing you want is the stinking stench of smoked fish, which clings to your clothes and your hair. It makes the kitchen stink for the full, like, 4.5 hours you're going to be there. Absolutely. And they're always very particular about their toast, the kipper community. I don't want to besmirch them, but they always want their toast done a certain way, which, you know, I'll say this as well. Never worked in a hotel kitchen where toast is done properly. Even if you do it in the kitchen or out, it's always either burnt or flaccid. burnt at the edge, flaccid in the middle. I don't know what it is about industrial toasters. They just don't do the job.
There was a certain phrase you used in that passage that's given me an idea for a feature. Now, it may not be for us. Oh. So if you run a cookery show or, you know, if it's Sunday brunch, Saturday kitchen, stuff like that, kitchen stink. And it could be a feature where you go to people's houses who have smelly kitchens and the hosts, maybe that guy of Homes Under the Hammer, one of those sorts of people, they
Martin,
go around.
Get his name right. His name's Martin.
Martin. And they go around, or Alison Hammond does it, and they go around and the people win the cleaning of their kitchen and they get rid of the kitchen stink.
Yeah, it sounds more like a sort of a feature on This Morning for 6 weeks rather than a show in and of itself.
It could start as that.
I was thinking of a little shout out.
Okay.
Because I made my daughter her breakfast this morning. She has a thing called the Elsie Special on toast. Ooh. I find it nauseating. So it's peanut butter, Marmite and honey on a piece of toast.
Didn't Elvis used to eat that?
No, did he?
Yeah, he used to have something like that. Wasn't it like peanut butter, jam and ice cream or something? Didn't he have some mad concoction?
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly. PBJ.
Yeah, she's like Elvis. So run us through those tiers again.
Well, you start off with the honey. You let that soak into the toast a bit. And then on goes the Marmite. She likes it thick as well, the Marmite, which I think you just want a little smear to maybe salt up, but she likes it thick, and then the peanut butter on top of that. Ooh. So I was thinking about, you know, maybe we could ask our listeners for their disgusting food concoctions, the disgusting things you eat. I'll pretty much have lime pickle on or in anything. But if you eat something particularly disgusting, a food combination that just makes the people around you gip, hello@cpfpl.com, or you can find us on the socials. We've had a new feature while we're doing this. Carwin says, idea for a feature, not quite monkey tennis or cooking in prison, gaffer cakes. Now, this is Carwin's description, not mine, all right?
Uh-huh.
Roly-poly political comedy genius.
Who?
I mean, that's you, Matt Ford.
Oh, that's me?
Roly-poly political comedy genius.
Oh, that's a real mixture, that, isn't it?
It's up and down, isn't it?
I want to like it. It ends strong. What is it with audiences and me this week?
This is somebody who likes you as well.
I know.
Roly-poly political comedy genius Matt Ford travels around football league grounds sampling local sweet treats. Your Jaffers, tea cakes, Eccles. Links in nicely with John's impending forfeit of trying to inhale his weight in Jaffa cakes. I'm sure Tesla will provide the wheels. You could also get him... again, these are their words, not mine. Shit faced at a brewery and film him chucking up his guts into various centre circles.
That sounds great. Thanks, Carl. I wonder if that's Carwin Jones, the former First Minister of Wales.
Well, the beef that ends the email suggests not. If that thief, Adam Witless, suggests this to you like he did with my idea of Oliver Bierhoff, I'll challenge him to an FF duel. I mentioned on my Instagram whilst listening and was excited that you mentioned my idea, only for that charlatan, Adam Gitmore, to receive the plaudits. Warmest wishes, Cav Jones. So there's real listener beef going on within the community, which is exciting because it's time to reveal that in line with other people in the FPL. We've launched an FPL League Cup, so there will be one for you and I, 40, within our league. There will be a random set of fixtures drawn up. The League Cup, I believe, starts this weekend. There will also be one in the Listener League. So if you're in the Listener League, then our producer, Danny, has set up the League Cup. He's activated the League Cup feature, so that will start soon.
Exciting stuff. I'm just looking at my team. I don't know what changed. I've got two free transfers to use this week.
Have you? Yeah, well, I used my free hit last week, so I don't. I'm in real trouble. It's not. I'm finding it hard to be motivated, to be honest. But as set up at the moment, I've gone with a 5-4-1, which feels negative. But it's one of those.
You have five at the back.
You can, yeah, as long as you've got someone in each position, mate.
Well, I guess you got your wing backs bumming on.
My wing backs, what, mate?
Bumming on. That's what they were saying. Yeah, you got the wing backs bumming on.
It's one of those game weeks where there's going to be points, isn't there? You've got Tottenham, fixture against Newcastle down the bottom of the league. You've got West Ham United, home fixture against struggling Everton. You've got Chelsea, home fixture against struggling Brentford. Liverpool, home fixture against struggling Watford. You know, all the big teams. Leeds United, home fixture against struggling Southampton. So it's one of them, really. Somebody is going to absolutely clean up this week.
And it's one of them.
It's one of them, isn't it?
One of them, isn't it?
My team is crap.
Oh,
I'm in trouble.
Oh, mate, come on. But you always say this. Don't forget, you were saying this at the start of the season when you were 10-0 up.
Yeah. Yeah, and now look at it.
Well, I'm gaining on you, aren't I? I've emailed Toby Bevans, by the way. I've found him.
Oh, excellent. How exciting.
Bit of an awkward email, really, when you say, "Oh, you know, congratulations on the relatively new job. By the way, yeah, we talk about you on a football podcast. Would you like to come on here?"
It's a good distance, though, isn't it? Because even a sort of a reply saying no gets you out of the forfeit. You've done your job there.
I guess so.
And we're far enough away from, you know, the Toby Bevans episodes that, you know, I think we were very polite about Toby Bevans. I think if anything will freak him out and not want and make him want to come on, it'll be frankly how excited you were about his promotion.
No, delighted for him. Absolutely delighted. And I'm sure right now out there, Toby Bevans is serving Muller to the very best of his ability and therefore, by extension, the public, by delivering us a whole range of sweet treats that we all know and enjoy and love and respect and enjoy and consume.
That's yoghurt chat and you're an arsehole. That's all we've got time for this week. Next podcast will be out after the conclusion of game week 31.
Don't forget to get in touch. Tweet us at ComediansFPL or email us hello@cpfpl.com. Feel free to pitch you or your friends what do you call them? Feature? I always call them features, but I feel like that's a very old-fashioned radio term.
It feels like we should make a feature of asking for features. So perhaps the first thing we need is a FPL pun on asking for features.
Or like feature comforts or something like that, like creature comforts.
Yeah, but a footballer.
Well, if you can think of a pun for this new feature,
then,
you know, get in touch and we'll feature it. hello@cpfpl.com. We're also on Instagram, Comedians Playing FPL, on Facebook, @ComediansFPL. Please do these things. And many of you have been reviewing the show, even if you do just keep saying, "I'm reviewing this because they told me to." It genuinely helps. So thank you to all of you that have done that.
Nothing the feds can do about that, is there?
Oh, mate. You know, this is subversive. Big Deeks said, "I may listen again if more time is dedicated to 4D Frank Clark impression." Someone here said, called Colin, said, "I've got a lot to do. I had to waste time Googling how to leave this review due to the fear I now feel of the consequence of not leaving one. Happy to rate the podcast 5 out of 10 stars. You subversive swine, but well done." And of course, get in touch with me directly at Matt Ford and send me your hot tips. Bye.
Bye.